right now, well, 3 years ago, before the Common Core was established, every state had their own set of standards, Michigan included. So schools across Michigan have been implementing standards that were created at the state level for years. This is not uncommon practice. What makes it really tricky is how do you compare performance across states if they're not teaching exactly the same thing? And this was an effort to start allowing us to compare performance, but also an effort to say college and career readiness is something that is essential for every child. And in a global economy, does a child in Michigan really need to have a dramatically different education than a child in New York or in Colorado? And so this effort was to really define what do kids need to know to be able to succeed at the next stage in their life.
Well, who put these standards together, Michelle?
So there were two groups that really led this effort, the National Governors Association, including Democrat and Republican governors, and then the Council of Chief State School Officers, which would be Superintendent Mike Flanagan and his colleagues. But it was not a federal effort. That's important to note that the federal government was not the ones leading this charge.
And how much input did the folks, the boots on the ground, the teachers in the schools, for instance, how much input did they have in putting together the standards?
So my understanding was that they had a real cross-section of folks who were engaged in that work. I know it's tricky when you start talking about a national effort. It's not the teacher next door that was likely to have been consulted. But when you look at big national teacher organizations like the National Education Association or the American Federation of Teachers, they certainly played a role and generally have been supportive of the effort.
Now, we need to, I guess, have you clarify and make this clear to everyone. Common Core doesn't actually set a curriculum for teachers to follow, but instead it's a set of skills and abilities that kids should have by the time they graduate?
That's exactly right. And that can be a really tricky concept if you don't come from a teaching background. I came from the classroom, so that to me is very clear. But when I talk about that to other folks in my office, I think about it like a Google Maps app, right? I set the destination and I say, I want to get here. And it gives me, you know, three or four options of how to get there. One is the fastest way. One is the most scenic way. One avoids freeways, right? You can go on and on. Common Core attempts to set destinations. What do we want every child to learn? But it leaves the how, that route part, up to students and families and teachers to be able to determine what makes the most sense in their classrooms to ensure that every child has the support that they need to be successful.
We've been speaking with Michelle Richard. Michelle's a senior consultant at Public Sector Consultants. Always a pleasure speaking with you, Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's dig a little deeper into Common Core and turn now to hear from an opponent and a supporter of these standards. Joining us are Tom McMillan, Republican State Representative from Rochester Hills. Welcome and thank you for coming into the studio.
It's a pleasure being here.
And John Austin, President of the State Board of Education. Welcome back to Stateside, John.
Good to be with you.
I want to begin with some of the criticism of the Common Core standards. And one of the things that we hear a lot about is that they reduce state and local control of schools, and it's more big government overreaching. But Representative McMillan, I have to ask you, these standards were put into place by states' governors and not the federal government. What's your response?
Well, the NGA is not the state's governors. It's a private trade association. There are no minutes. There's no open meetings or FOIA. There's no, as a matter of fact, David Coleman, who was one of the main writers of the Common Core, he made it clear that he had to sell this to the governors. It was not something that was a collaborative effort that was actually done by the governors or by states. It was something done by some elite educators who think that they know what's best for everybody, including the children in each individual school in our state.
Do you believe the federal government was involved with that? Because that is something that we do hear from critics.
Well, we do know that the NGA was substantially funded by the federal government and by Gates Foundation. We also know that the assessments, which are very critical to Common Core, were funded by the federal government. Obama, in his State of the Union, made it clear that he is taking that as something that he's done. He has forced curriculum, and he even said curricula and standards throughout the nation.
John Austin, your comments?
Well, I think the Common Core is really just the next step or the current step in what has been a state-led evolution led by governors with the business community and education experts and education leadership, including in our case, the State Board of Education has the direct responsibility for designing what kind of standards we want all young people to learn. And it began 20 years ago when we realized it wasn't effective and helpful to young people to have wildly different education. And Governor Engler really was the governor at the time who embraced the standards movement and said, let's create that common learning platform, whether you're in Marquette or Munising or Monroe, that makes sure our young people are ready with the skills they need to succeed in entering college, entering community college, entering technical training, and being ready for the workplace. So it was with the help of education policy experts, with the help of the governors created an organization, Achieve, that was looking at policy expectations for exiting high school. And we as a state began the march in the 90s, in 2000, with common requirements for K-8 learning. And then we, in 2006, said, let's have high standards for exiting high school. We didn't have any high school exit requirements. And the Common Core is really just the next step that we've taken where we've improved on these standards to say, let's align our learning expectations for all young people, wherever they grow up.
Representative, give us a sense of what you see as the inherent danger and problem with having a set of standards like these.
Well, it's not the set of standards. It's who's writing them and who's going to determine the changes. And so the State Board has decided to turn that over to the National Governors Association. Any future changes in standards, Mike Flanagan, the state superintendent, made it clear to me in writing that if we don't like a standard that comes out, a change, we're still going to have to teach it. And if a teacher feels that it's going to be confusing to the child, she'll still have to teach that standard because it's going to be on the test. And he said, well, I guess maybe they don't have to teach it, but then they're going to be at a deficit where Michigan is going to be behind the other states when we have these high-stakes testing that we see with Smarter Balance.
And I respectfully disagree. We as a state, the state board, with the help of education experts and educators both here in our state and from around the country, the best practice of other states, we're the ones that develop these standards. First with our Michigan merit content expectations, and then we run processes. This is what we and the people elect the State Board of Education to do. We have long terms, 8 years. We do this on a bipartisan basis. We charge our superintendent and our staff to work with experts in education from our great Michigan education community, as well as the national organizations that are roping together what kind of practices are most effective to be college and career ready. And when we developed these standards and approved them, this latest round of Common Core, we did so with that kind of process, with that kind of public discussion. We reviewed the standards. We approved their direction because we think it's a natural, good step to tighten focus and make even more relevant to career and college ready skills.
Well, I mean, you know, the experts, James Milgram from Stanford, I believe it is, and Sandra Stotsky were both on the validation committees and were one of the main educators that were actually on the validation committee for Common Core, and they said that these are very deficient. For example, the math, Milgram said that kids will leave high school 2 years behind being ready for college and being successful. And Stotsky said that, you know, a lot of the classical literature, I think in Massachusetts, now that they went to Common Core, studies show that about 60% of classical literature will not be taught anymore. You know, it's open for debate and it's cloaked in a lot of secrecy. We know that all the states didn't agree with everything. So there had to have been some give and take. What did we put in the standards? What did we not put in the standards? But none of that is accessible. None of that debate is accessible. Stotsky was very frustrated because there was no minutes. She gave her criticisms, but there was nothing on record to show who else was criticizing or what other concerns there were.
Why were there no minutes, and why is that not available?
When we, as a state and in the other states, developed our first set of state standards, we had fulsome discussion, expert involvement, lots of public discussion. So it's just not true that there hasn't been fulsome, thoughtful attention. I think it's telling that you'll always get good debate, but it's overwhelmingly supported, this Common Core, this set of learning expectations, by the business community, who business leaders from Michigan and other of their peer organizations, by the colleges and universities who say this is very much what our young people need to master so they can matriculate successfully. Our education experts, teachers unions, education policymakers in Michigan and around the country overwhelmingly suggest that this is an excellent framework and an excellent set of foundational skills that we do want all young people to be delivered and have in their ability to successfully move ahead.
But is it transparent? Can people see the give and take and what went into that? Were there minutes kept?
the representative's alluding to some sort of national discussions, but I'm not sure where he's getting his information. I want to reiterate, we as a state mm-hmm. and the states together entered into this movement to create a common foundation of skills.
Representative McMillan, why do you think so many other states, some 40 other states, have gone ahead with Common Core? Shouldn't this tell us something?
Well, you know, it should say that there was money available. There was $4 billion in Race to the Top money. So they were enticed. It was a time, if you remember, that all states were under a lot of money crunches. And so, you know, the Obama administration said, well, if you adopt Common Core, that will be counted in your favor in Race to the Top and trying to get that money. So there was a lot of states that took that. There's a large number, 10 to 15 at least, that are rethinking that and realizing that as that it's actually being implemented, that we have indeed turned over our ability to change these standards to a national private entity, and that that is something that's untenable and it's something that we shouldn't be giving up.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with John Austin, who's president of the State Board of Education, and with Republican State Representative Tom McMillan as we get into the Common Core. John, you've said you believe some of this opposition to the Common Core standards comes from the Tea Party. Explain that for us.
Well, I think it's unfortunate, Representative McMillan, and I gather others, what I believe is a relatively small number of elected officials and perhaps others are raising what I view as really red herring arguments that are wrong about Common Core. The two main arguments that they're making to try to prevent us from marching forward on this good evolution of having a good learning platform for all our young people are that this is somehow a federal curriculum or national takeover of education, and that it's somehow dumbing down or making worse our good state learning expectations for all our young people. And both of those are not true. As I've indicated, this is an effort where states, including Michigan, who's been a leader, are eager to put in place state-based performance expectations for what we want all young people to learn. It's not a national takeover, and it is an improvement and refining and even focusing of our already good rigorous standards that we had. It makes it teach more complex material. It makes it us teach fewer but deeper levels of content, so we don't have a million learning expectations. We have fewer that are the ones our young people need to actually master the content that will help them be prepared for their next steps.
And your response, Representative?
Well, I mean, it's unfortunate that you know, they try and malign people that are opposing Common Core. That this is a left and right. The foremost critic or educator on the left, Diane Ravitch, is very much against the Common Core. She has a blog that is daily talking about how it's a real problem. The assessments and the national tests are a real problem. And the nationalization of our schools is a very big problem. And we do oppose that. We do think that not being able to change standards that we don't like is a real problem. I can't imagine why anybody would want to turn over your ability to change standards to a private entity where you have no idea the debate or the open meet. There's no Open Meetings Act. There's no discussion about how those are going to be changed.
And again, we decided, the state of Michigan, the State Board of Education, whose job is to set the learning platform for all our young people, we chose to do this. It's not giving away power to somebody else. It's not any sort of takeover because it's important for all our young people. And this is the main point. We can't go back to, you know, the 19th century when most people lived, grew up, and worked and died in their same little community village, and it was perfectly appropriate to teach whatever was needed in that community. Now we want all our young people to be able to succeed wherever they go, be able to go to University of Michigan or Grand Valley or Macomb Community College or to go to Harvard. We want them to be able to go to work anywhere in Michigan. And I think it's a good thing when you see strong bipartisan support and even bipartisan disagreement on any topic. I mean, when we joined this standards movement, it was Bill Clinton visited, John Engler hosted him, and we announced in Michigan that we were joining this state-led movement of high state standards. And if Bill Clinton and John Engler can agree on something, it's a good sign.
But it's clear that if the standards change, we will have to adopt them. So then if the National Governors Association behind closed doors say that a standard is going to change, and they've already said they will change, you know, the State Board of Education will not be able to say, no, we reject that. Even though it may be bad for Michigan, we don't mm-hmm. like it, mm-hmm. it's confusing, we're still going to have to adopt it. I think we've turned over our authority, and that's the most troubling.
Now, looking at the fact that teachers are going to be going back to work at the beginning of September, they're going to be putting together lesson plans, but the state legislature might not even be voting on Common Core until the end of September. So what does this timing mean for teachers and for students, Representative?
Well, they'll be taking the MEEP test in the fall, so it's not the testing of the Smarter Balance high-stakes testing is scheduled for next year, late next year. So, they can continue to teach. And all that we're saying is that teachers should be able to be professionals and be able to say, look, this is a confusing, is it the lattice method, which is confusing to parents. And Cohen, the president of Achieve yesterday in the testimony, made it clear that these were not written with parents in mind, he said, which was very shocking. But because one of the Democrat legislators said, it's confusing. My kids bring this home and I can't help them. And if a teacher sees something confusing, if we don't stay with the Common Core, the teacher can say, look, this is confusing, kids. We're going to skip pages 18 to 22. They can be professionals, which we'd like to treat teachers as.
Teachers overwhelmingly in Michigan like the Common Core. We know our kids need a higher set of skills than we did as parents to succeed in this changing, more complex society. And my hope is that when we have some of these good discussions that the representative and others have encouraged, we will all, and the legislature itself, will be reassured that this is a good set of learning expectations. We make the decision, and we will make the decision to change if we need. As a state, it is our call. We decided to join, and we will have total ability to change, improve as we move ahead. It is ours to control, and we did this because we think it's helping our young people get that rich foundation that they need for success.
Yeah, but while teachers may say that they support it, the MEA, their magazine came out earlier this year that said 75% of them don't understand what they are and that they aren't teaching them currently and what exactly Common Core is. And I know that they're not excited about the high-stakes testing. The interest by many to tie them to their performance and to their pay, this is you teach to the test. So these standards are indeed going to inform the test, and the test will inform curriculum.
Well, I have to leave it there for today. But speaking of good conversations, we really appreciate both of you coming in to share your viewpoints on this. And I know there'll be more conversations as this unfolds throughout the year, very closely watched by parents and teachers. Thank you very, very much to both of you, Representative Tom McMillan, Republican from Rochester Hills, and the president of the State Board of Education, John Austin. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cindy.